From Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the Local Edition. I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me tonight. Coming up, comedy in the Catskills tomorrow night in Narrowsburg, when the Krause Recital Hall becomes Club Krause as part of the Parlor Presents series at DVAA. I talked to comedian Sean Patton. That's coming up later in the program. And the USDA has granted New York a disaster designation because of the spring freeze that decimated upstate fruit farmers. We'll talk to Ulster County Executive Jen Metzger about that. Plus, Roxbury, New York eyes a new rent law. All those stories and more are coming right up, and we're going to start right now with the biggest news of the moment in our area, the weather, extreme weather, and its impacts. And right now, there's a flood warning until 2 a.m. for the East Branch of the Delaware River at Hancock in Delaware County, New York. Minor flooding is expected as the river briefly rises above its 18-foot flood stage before it starts receding this evening. Again, that warning until 2 a.m. tonight. A flood watch remains in effect until 8 p.m. tonight in the eastern Catskills, which is Ulster and Greene counties. And all of this, of course, follows the massive amount of rain our region got yesterday. Heavy rain dumped an estimated 3 to 6 inches of precipitation across parts of the Catskills, triggering widespread flooding, road closures, and emergency response operations all around Sullivan County. Mayor Stoddard in Liberty declared an emergency yesterday evening, and earlier this morning on Radio Catskill, we heard from some of the small businesses in Livingston Manor who closed today out of an abundance of caution. 5 people in Livingston Manor were displaced during yesterday's floods, and they spent the night in a shelter. And many businesses were still closed by this afternoon when Radio Catskill visited the area. Radio Catskill's Kimberly Izar was in the manor today, sat down with Town of Rockland Supervisor Rob Eggleton about the impact of the floods and the recent efforts to reduce flooding in Sullivan County.
Can you kind of just describe what happened yesterday with the flash floods and paint me a picture of what exactly it looked like?
So actually, our flash flooding started about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. The road up in Grooville, which is up in the Bruce area, was totally covered. There was a guy who cuts a lot of firewood that was, the logs were washing down across the road. Several houses up there got damaged. By last night, we had to evacuate people from Pearl Street, which is typically where it floods first. 5 of those people ended up spending the night in a Presbyterian church. Main Street was a lot of mud. The Sunoco station is still recovering from that. And the water is just raging super fast. We also had issues in Roscoe with our dog park, which we've only had a few years. The fence is totally on the ground. From what we can see, it's still all the way to the top of the fence. So this is just another catastrophe that's happened. But we haven't had one since 2021. So we've been good for quite a few years. And currently, we have 3 different engineering companies looking at the flooding in all of the town of Rockland. So by the end of this year, we should have some pretty good ideas on ways that we can reduce a lot of flooding in Livingston Manor and Roscoe.
Do you have a sense yet as to how much water, was it several inches, or kind of describe what that looked like?
So on the main street, it looked like there was maybe 8 inches of water, maybe a little bit more. The actual Chinese restaurant was sweeping water out of their front door where it had been in on the main floor. So it may be even deeper than that.
Yeah. You talked a bit about that there were at least 5 people who had to be evacuated from their homes. Talk to me a little bit about the emergency response that happened yesterday.
So actually, the emergency response, I was out of town yesterday. So my deputy supervisor, Andy McCrell, was able to reach out to the people. Their houses were being flooded, and he was able to call the Presbyterian Church, which is our evacuation site. And 2 of the women were so gracious to stay there with them all night long. But since then, the water's receded, and they've all gone back home. But one of them still is going to have issues and have to find someplace else to live for a couple of days.
In terms of, you mentioned that the last time that we've seen flash floods in Livingston Manor was 2021. This area is prone to severe recurring flooding for decades. Can you talk about some of the efforts to reduce the flooding?
So one of the efforts we had, we were working with Trout Unlimited, and they had applied for a grant, which we got over at the Livingston Manor School, to try to remove a portion of the berm that was built way back in the 60s, as far as we know, to try to reclaim some of the floodplain. That would allow us to put in some new athletic fields for sports that would be a little bit further from the school. But that was a $4.5 million grant, and we're still trying to get everyone on board. If we lose it, then we lose the other $4.5 million that follows. So we're looking at $10 million of potential money that would reduce flooding in Livingston Manor to zero at the 50-year flood and less than 6 inches at a 100-year flood.
Mm.
So that's a major difference.
Yeah.
And what are you hearing from small business owners, farmers, residents in the area about just the immediate effect of this? On top of the fact that, you know, this summer has not been super kind to us in terms of extreme weather. We just saw a tornado watch. We saw extreme heat earlier this summer.
Yeah, so this has just been one of those roller coasters. But the Farmer's Almanac actually called for an El Nino year, which is a dry year. So, you know, we kind of expected some of that was going to be correct. But flooding, if it would have just, it never comes the way you need it. A nice steady rain would have soaked in. The rivers have been really low and extremely warm. So the fish population is hurting. Now with this heavy rain, it makes it even more challenging for sportsmen and fishermen who actually spend a lot of time in the town of Rockland.
Can you kind of just describe for people who aren't familiar with the Livingston Manor area, why this area is prone to flooding with the Willowemoc and Beaverkill, et cetera?
One of the issues we have in Livingston Manor is the fact that we have three streams that come together. We have the Willowemoc, we have the Little Beaverkill, and then we have Cattail Brook. And the confluence of all three of them meet right at Renaissance Park in Livingston Manor. So with the Willowemoc being the most powerful of the three streams, the other ones tend to back up a little bit quicker because there's no release of water. So finding ways that we can reduce the speed of the water, maybe some retention ponds further up, like beyond Rotary Park, there's some places where we could put in some retention ponds, and that would slow down some of the water from the Little Beaverkill from getting here all at the same time and would help reduce some of the flooding.
Okay. Anything else you want to add?
No, we're just grateful to have our volunteers in the town of Rockland, the firemen and the police, and our road crews have been out steadily, and we couldn't do it without them.
Thank you, Kimberly, for that report. A listener, wherever you are, I hope you got through yesterday's storms and any attendant flooding okay. I hope you're doing well. And, of course, sincere best wishes for the folks in the manor. I hope you all make out all right. Well, now for news from Albany, where the word is utility rebate checks may be coming to New Yorkers this fall. WNYC's Jimmy Vielkind reports they'll arrive just before Election Day.
A person familiar with the state's plans say checks of up to $200 will start arriving in September. Governor Hochul touted the billion-dollar program as an affordability measure. But GOP critics are questioning the timing and say the money won't do much to help with rising rates. Dean Murray is a Republican state senator from Suffolk County.
Well, surprise, surprise, it's coming out a month before the election. Who'd have thunk?
Bill Ferris of AARP New York says the checks will help older people on fixed incomes.
They're needed. It was a terrible winter.
State officials estimate 8 million households will receive the payments. In Albany, I'm Jimmy Vielkind for the New York Public News Network.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul is continuing to tout the recently enacted one-year moratorium on large-scale data centers. She says a developing framework for data centers in New York will restrict tax breaks and regulate power usage, while also helping communities negotiate for local benefits. While speaking in a Rochester suburb earlier today, Hochul said that framework will also look ahead to the long term.
When the technology does change and data centers become obsolete, who's cleaning up the mess? Is that going to sit there forever? Like the Bethlehem Steel is still along the shores of Lake Erie since the early 1900s, has not been torn down because the company walked away and the community couldn't afford it.
Part of the discussion is for data centers to put up a decommissioning bond. Hochul says that is a must so future taxpayers are not left with the cost of tearing them down. And thank you to the New York Public News Network for those reports. And now we have news from Roxbury, where a proposed local law regulating short-term rentals has sparked debate in a community where tourism plays a major role in the local economy. Supporters say the measure would establish safety standards and oversight for vacation rentals, while critics argue some provisions could hurt property owners and small businesses that rely on short-term rental income. Radio Catskills' Rebecca Hendricks has the rundown on what this law is all about.
Roxbury's town board is considering a new law to place limits on short-term rentals in town, potentially making properties ineligible for short-term rental permits until 1 year after the purchase of the home. Tourism has been on the rise in the Catskills. The post-pandemic boom has led to property owners offering up short-term rentals in their home or their second properties. These homes, rented on Airbnb and other online services, have been a huge topic of debate. Some people are happy to make a little extra cash from tourism as rental hosts or small business owners. But others believe that short-term rentals shrink the housing market, making it difficult to live in the area. In Roxbury, the town board proposed a new local law to enforce regulations and requirements for short-term rental owners. Under this new law, rental permits would only be granted to newly purchased properties a year after closing. RoxburyCitizen.org has created a page rallying for the town's residents to send in comments petitioning for a new draft of this local law, claiming that the law will, quote, take money out of working people's pockets. The website's post claims that this new law will make it more difficult for homeowners to sell their property and will take away money from the tradesmen who work on rental properties, like plumbers, electricians, and landscapers. A hearing for this new law was held earlier this month, and it has yet to pass. In Liberty, I'm Rebecca Hendricks for Radio Catskill.
And thank you, Rebecca, for running all that down for us. We have more news to come. The USDA grants New York a disaster declaration because this spring's freeze decimated fruit trees. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
APAC is really at a crossroads right now. It is not hard to imagine that in the future, there could be a race with two candidates who are both critics of Israel. And APAC, if it wants to remain relevant, is going to have to reconsider what it means to be pro-Israel.
I'm Rachel Abrams. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
It is the Local Edition. I'm Jason Dold. New York State has secured a U.S. Department of Agriculture disaster declaration for more than 30 counties in the state that include Sullivan, Ulster, Delaware, and Orange. This designation is in response to the spring frost back in April that affected fruit growers across upstate New York. Ulster County is actually the second largest producer of apples in the state. And Kimberly Izar recently spoke with Ulster County Executive Jen Metzger about what this designation means for local farmers.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul announced over the weekend that the state had been granted this USDA disaster designation for 32 counties across the state. Let's start with why this designation was initially requested.
Sure. So April saw some incredibly severe weather that was devastating to our farms. So just weather extremes, I should say. So that if you recall, we had a couple of days of unseasonably warm weather. It got as high as 90 degrees, which was, you know, just unheard of. And what that did for orchards is essentially, and vineyards, it essentially, like, the extreme warmth pushed the blooms out early, and then there was this extreme temperature drop down to 20 degrees, and the frost just, you know, hit the orchards and vineyards at this very susceptible time in the fruit development, growth development. And so it was just that a combination of severe weather circumstances just severely impacted the crop for this year. It affected other crops as well, but primarily orchards and vineyards. And, you know, Ulster County is the second largest apple producer in the state. New York is the second largest apple producer in the country. And, you know, we also, you know, produce many other types of fruits, stone fruits, peaches, plums, nectarines, all kinds of things. And of course, grapes. So it was pretty bad. And we've had farms that lost up to 90% of their crop. So we, the governor, had in early May, formally requested, sent a letter to USDA Secretary Rollins, formally requesting a secretarial disaster designation. And, I followed that up with a letter co-signed by my counterparts in Orange and Dutchess counties, which were also severely impacted, urging that that request be granted. And we've been, you know, calling a lot, just really trying and advocating pretty consistently since that request was first made for this designation to happen, because our farms are just, they really need the assistance that the declaration would provide.
And, you know, now that New York State has secured this disaster designation from the USDA, what kind of support exactly does this open up for farmers?
So they can, if they meet the eligibility criteria, they can access low-interest loans to get them through the year, essentially. And if they already have federal loans, they may be eligible for some relief, break in payments on those loans, which can also be really helpful because, you know, their costs are the same or similar, regardless of what their harvest is. And so, you know, they're really, and these are mostly family farms, you know, it's really tough on them. So getting that capital and getting some break could be really helpful.
The disaster designation, it encapsulates actually multiple extreme weather events, the frost and freeze that we saw in April that hit the Hudson Valley and other parts of the Northeast. But it also includes, you know, impact from high winds and hail from May that hit Cayuga and Oswego counties. You know, as you know, we're expecting that climate change will likely drive more of these extreme weather events. Do you foresee these disaster designations potentially becoming increasingly more common?
Absolutely. I mean, this is definitely climate change. This is what has been predicted for our region, and we can expect more of the same. We have, you know, this is, I've been really trying to get the message out there because, of course, our federal government is taking us backwards on climate. But, you know, if we don't start, you know, if we don't stay on track to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, I mean, we can expect even more extremes. So yes, absolutely. We're right now we're dealing with the impacts that of climate change, that, you know, from emissions that we've already generated, and we can certainly expect more. I've also been strongly advocating for a bill introduced by Senator Michelle Hinchey that would create a state climate resilience grant program for farms. So when they are hit with extreme weather, they would have access to some grant funding to help them, you know, weather the storm. Not a pun. But yeah, so we're hoping that that gets passed. We pressed for it to be included in this year's state budget. It was not, but we'll continue to advocate for getting that bill over the finish line next year.
And now that the state has this disaster declaration, what are you hearing from, you know, farmers just about what this means for them? And how can farmers apply moving forward for the relief?
So there's great relief that this designation has been given. I've been speaking with farmers. They've been like, "Have you heard anything?" There's been a lot of anxiety, kind of, it's waiting for this decision to be made. And right now I'm just putting out, sharing information about it. I put it out, a link to the state, Ag and Markets, webpage that has all of the links for farmers for, just going through the process of getting loans or if they need some break on current loan payments. So all of that information is on the state Ag and Markets website and my, county executive social pages, Facebook and Instagram also have those links.
And folks can find all of that information, as Executive Metzger mentioned, on the state's Department of Ag and Markets website at agriculture.ny.gov. We've been chatting with Ulster County Executive Jen Metzger about New York's USDA disaster declaration. Executive Metzger, thank you again so much for chatting.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you again to Kimberly Izar for that report. Well, finally, tonight on the Local Edition, we're going to meet comedian Sean Patton. He's based in New York by way of New Orleans, began doing stand-up in the Crescent City, and has since performed comedy in clubs and festivals across the world, including Melbourne International Comedy Festival, Dublin Comedy Fest, Edinburgh Fringe, South by Southwest, and you may have seen him featured on Comedy Central, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, Conan, This Is Not Happening, and The Week at the Comedy Cellar. And his acting credits include IFC's Marin, True TV's Those Who Can't, FX's English Teacher, and HBO's Hacks, and he will be performing tomorrow night in Narrowsburg along with comedian Matt Ruby when the Krause Recital Hall at DVAA becomes Club Krause as part of their Parlor Presents series. So, Sean Patton, welcome to the Local Edition.
Thank you for having me. And, man, I was having kind of a down morning, and then just listening to you list off all those credits, I was like, okay, I've done some stuff.
Yeah, you have. I was like, wow, he's done some stuff too. Yeah, that's great.
All right.
And now after all of that global comedic effort, you're coming up to the Sullivan County Catskills to do stand-up. How are you feeling about that?
I'm looking forward to it. It will be my first time to the Catskills, believe it or not. And it seems like that's a crazy statement because you hear Catskills and it seems so synonymous with like comedy in New York, but first time.
But I mean, even just getting out of the city to come up the mountains, you haven't been up here yet.
I have not. So I'm looking forward to it. It's get some nature in while we can still do it, it's been so bipolar weather wise here in the city. So it's good to go. It'll be good to get out.
Yeah, yeah, we've got some of that bipolarness up here too, but it's always nice. It's always nice. So I hope you get to enjoy some of that. And Narrowsburg is beautiful. It's the narrowest and the deepest part of the Delaware River. I don't know what you'll do with that info, but they do like saying that. But it's beautiful there in Narrowsburg.
I'll go swimming.
There you go. There's a spot. People were doing it. We were just there for Riverfest on the weekend, and people were swimming at the end of the day. So what do you want folks to know about what you do? What can they expect?
Well, I mean, we're along with Matt Ruby, who's also a very fantastic, very current event, topical comedian. He's an awesome, wonderful man. I have a more personal sort of expose my own flaws and my own human nature. So for you to laugh at. So that with the idea that if you can laugh at my flaws, maybe you can become better at accepting your own. And, then we all kind of learn about each other's people. But, I put on a very high energy, high wattage show. I think it'll pair perfectly with Matt, just a good balance. And I guarantee you won't be bored for a second. You may find some of it insane and some of it completely outlandish, but you'll find all of it funny, and you won't be bored.
Okay.
I give you that.
That's great. One thing I didn't mention in the intro is you have made a few albums. Do you want to let folks know about what you've done on your albums?
Oh, yeah, I've got quite a few. I've got my first ever album. I forget the order. I've got one called Scuttlebutt, which is named after a strip club in the outer skirts of New Orleans, where I grew up, which was the first bar I ever snuck into as a young man. A lot of stories about that. And I got another album called Team Scorpio, which is that one was released right after the pandemic. So it was we recorded it in 2021, released it later that year. And, you know, that one was just thoughts I think a lot of us have had, you know, over that year plus. I actually just a month ago shot a special in Asheville, North Carolina, editing together now. And, you know, we're going to start shopping that around. Hopefully that'll be out by the end of the year or early next year. So, you know, just constantly crafting the material. You know, you got to get like any art form, like any medium, you got to just constantly be in it. You know, it's always evolving. It's always changing. The zeitgeist is always expanding and shrinking and expanding again. So just staying in it is part of the fun, you know. And if I'm not enjoying it, how can you possibly be enjoying it? So, you know, it's, you gotta love it in order for other people to love it.
Right. You know?
Very,
absolutely.
Very therapeutic.
Do you ever get back to New Orleans?
Quite a bit. I was there for the 4th of July. I went down, you know, I got a lot of family down there. You know, I personally do not like the city during the summer. I love it every other season. Like during the summer, it's hotter than hot, just sort of muggy, like you're sweating in the shower. And I'm not hyperbolizing that. You're in the shower sweating. And you know, it doesn't matter how cold the water is. You feel like you're out and about, you feel like you're wearing liquid underwear all day. It's just very, you know, muggy. But during the fall, I say this all the time. New Orleans is the best New Year's Eve city in the world. If you want to go somewhere you've never been for New Year's Eve, go to New Orleans. You just don't need a plan. You just kind of walk around, drink, talk, eat, be merry. You can drink in the streets. It's a wonderful time. But yeah, I go back quite a bit. It's you know, at this point, New York's home. The road is sort of the second home, but New Orleans is the third home, even though it was the original home. Right. But it likes being third.
Sean, where can folks find out what you're up to? What's the best way to follow you?
Well, if you want to follow me on socials, you go to I'm at Mr. Sean Patton on Instagram, Sean Patton Comedy at YouTube, and if you go to my website, which is therealseanpatton.com, and I had to say therealseanpatton.com because someone owns seanpatton.com and will not sell it to me, and then my old website, meseanpatton.com. The URL was stolen by someone, and now they're like a motivational speaker, which is not me. That is not me. So, therealseanpatton.com. That's my website. And yeah, you'll just I'm always up to something. So yeah,
all right,
you know, check it out.
Always up to something. And tomorrow night you're going to be up here. Again, this is Sean Patton, and along with comedian Matt Ruby, at Club Krause above the DVAA in Narrowsburg tomorrow night with MC Greg Triggs. Doors at 7:30, show at 8. They've got general seating as well as tables for two, plus they'll have bar and snacks. And again, that's over at the DVAA in Narrowsburg. Sean, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us and break a leg tomorrow night.
Thank you very much, my friend. You have a good one. See y'all tomorrow.
And that is it for the Local Edition tonight. I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me. And do not forget, there is a flood warning until 2 a.m. for a very specific area. That's the East Branch of the Delaware River at Hancock in Delaware County, New York. A flood watch remains in effect until 8 tonight in the Eastern Catskills, and that's Ulster and Greene counties. Do stay with us because coming up at 7, we got the Retro Cocktail Hour, followed by Matt Hurtado's Virtual Soundscapes at 9. Before any of that, The Daily is up next. This is Radio Catskill.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Never Sink General Store, featuring catering for parties, meetings, and weddings, gourmet deli, pizzeria, and groceries inside a gas station. NeverSinkGeneralStore.com. From Rourke Law Liberty, New York, a general law practice serving the Catskills and Delaware River Valley with an emphasis on estate planning, estate administration, elder law, and real property matters. RourkeLaw.com. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.com.